I'll be reading from Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the seas and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be back with you. Been out a couple of weeks, and it's good to be back. We were at retreat last week. We had a great time. Didn't have quite as many go, but I believe it was one of the more enjoyable retreats. I had a great time, and I know others did. And then I had the opportunity the week before to go to Centerville to Camp Meribah. Camp Meribah was celebrating its 50 years in existence, and I directed that camp back in the 80s for a couple of years. And so it was great to go back and see some folks that I hadn't seen and spend some time there and see the updates to the facilities and some things that haven't changed. It was a good time, but it's good to be back. As we begin, if you will remember, last month or so I presented a picture of two of our local fellas, Goober and Bubba, on the Cooperator magazine. Well, just a few days later, I got the Tennessee magazine. Same two guys. I'm back, Ernie. You asked if I was ever coming back. I'm back, brother. Yeah, I saw that and I said, amazing. All right, we'll be serious, but I just couldn't control myself. I thought the second one was a little better picture, really. Want to begin with a prayer in just a moment. Dear Father, we thank you for your blessings. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning. This morning the sunshine is so wonderful. The hills are so beautiful. And well, we're just mindful of your creative power. And we're so thankful that you have blessed us in so many ways, and the opportunity to live in such a wonderful, beautiful place with such wonderful people. Father, we're thankful that Ransom's surgery went well and that his recovery is going well. We just pray you continue to bless him with healing. As we know, there are just several complicating factors, but we're thankful things are going well, and I pray peace to be on his family as well. Father, we have many who are battling cancers and sicknesses and problems among our congregation and our families, and I just pray your continued healing and blessing to be on them. Father, we're just thankful that Jeremy is back with us and that training has gone well, and pray that you continue to be with him as he returns back next week to continue his training. Father, I'm thankful for all of those who serve and for all of those families who have loved ones away, especially during this time of holiday when I know that we all miss being home and miss having loved ones at home. And Father, for those who are in danger, I just pray your blessing and protection on them. Father, as I listen to the flag blowing in the breeze this morning, it just reminded me how thankful I am to be in this nation. And Father, as citizens of this nation, may we live and talk and teach and act in a way that honors you as we serve each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 17 this morning. And also this morning, congratulations to the Hickeys, who are grandparents. Young grandparents, but grandparents nevertheless. So, huh?
I feel old.
You feel old?
What? See what you started?
I was trying to be good on this one. You know. So congratulations. And tell a little boy.
Little boy.
Name is
Jeremy Brady McNeese.
Jeremy Brady McNeese. And he weighed, not the guys don't care, but the ladies want to know.
7 pounds,
4.5 ounces. So, and they're all doing good. Right, congratulations again. That's That's fantastic. So we're proud for y'all. And, you know, you'll have to bring the baby at some point for everyone to see. And that's for a little reminder coming up quickly, because I've had folks asking. I talked to Santa Claus this week. And on December the 14th, which is a Saturday, Mr. Claus, Santa, and Mrs. Claus are going to be at Milton. And they're going to have breakfast with us, and we can take pictures, and you can tell them what you want for Christmas. So everybody prepare for that. Oh, I see excitement. Because Santa will be here, and you can invite your friends, and we'll have breakfast. And even those of us who are a little older, we can come and enjoy breakfast and have your picture made if you want to, and enjoy the excitement of these young people as we spend time together. Because the excitement is building. The excitement is building. And it's a fun time when we have little ones at home. It's also a time it's a little easier to correct them, because we tell them, you know, Christmas is coming, and Santa knows who's bad or good. So January, I always ran out of, what am I going to do now, you know? I want to talk about Acts 17 again. We're running a little late getting started. I apologize for that. So I'll try to move on, because I'm probably not going to finish Acts 17 today. So we talked about Acts 17, and we talked about the difference, because we got a sermon from Paul where he's preaching in a synagogue, and he talks about who Jesus is from a genealogy standpoint. Remember us talking about that? That he's tracing back to Abraham and the importance of Abraham, which is important to all of us, was important to those Jews. But doesn't mean anything to the Athenians, to the Greeks, who have a different thought. So Paul approaches them in a totally different way. All right? Not changing the message, but just using reference points that make sense to them. And it's interesting, he goes back to something that we talked the other day about God being the creator. Remember 3 weeks ago now, Ernie, since the last time I was here, brother. We talked about God as the creator and the importance, and that there's a real debate in our society about creation and evolution, right? And we define that we're not, when I say we as Christians, are not opposed to the thought that things evolve, because we know they do, right? I mean, we know that they do. But when we talk about evolution, it is everything just coming from chance, from nothingness. Because the scripture says God created every kind of animal, right? It didn't say every, but every kind of animal. And those do adapt and change. We see that. I mean, that's pretty factual. And the scripture doesn't say anything against that. But the argument for many evolutionists in our culture is that by this random cosmic accidents or occurrences, that the order that we see today occurred. They just have to have more faith than I have. You said you got to have faith that all of this order came from chance. But the argument, the reason it's such a heated argument, is obviously for Satan to remove God from the equation is an important thing, right? You can shake your head. It is. It is important. This is not a secular argument. This is a spiritual argument. Because the scripture tells us where the world came from, right? That's why our reading is from Genesis 1 today, even though we're in Acts 17. Because where man comes from is important, and where the universe came from. God created it and is in charge. Okay, it did not happen by chance. God is not the creation of man. And we talked about that. That Paul makes that very clear to the Greeks, to these learned men of Athens, that we didn't create God. God is not something, some mythology that man made up. But God is real, and he is the creator of the whole universe. And now I want us to talk about, as the argument progresses today, not only did we not create God from our own minds, and he doesn't live in temples made by hands, because Athens is full of temples and memorials, right? And that it was an honor to be selected to wait on Athena, to make clothes and to take food to the statue of the goddess Athena in the Parthenon. But Paul says, the true and living God, while the Jews built a temple for him, it's not contained in a temple. And not that he needs us to serve him. In fact, here's what Paul says. God provides everything for us. We're not providing things for him. He provides everything for us. And that he made us in his image. We didn't make God in our image. He made us in his image. And he provides us everything. He provides us everything. Can you find that verse in the 17? I'll go look at it just so they'll know. I'm not lying to you. It's there. God provides everything. This is important because another struggle that we have in our society, for lack of a better term, would be what we call humanism. All right, I'm throwing isms out here. But humanism is no more difficult than this. There it is. He is not served by human hands if he need anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations. This is exactly what Genesis tells us, right? That they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. In him we live and move and have our very existence. He set out our times, and as the King James says, and the boundaries of their habitation. I like that. The boundaries of their habitation. Where we should live. God set all of that out. God is then what? In charge. God is in charge. That's what the Bible teaches us, and that's what Paul is telling the Greeks, right? It is God that provides everything. We don't provide things for God. God provides everything for us. It is not the exploration of man that solely expanded our boundaries. Now, am I denying the history of the explorers? No, I'm not denying the history of the explorers. In fact, it was social studies in elementary school. We didn't call it history, right? We called it social studies. Social studies. I'm a social studies man. I'm an A student in social studies. We're not going to talk about the rest of the report card, but I'm an A student in social studies because, you know, I just love that. I mean, I loved about, you know, wasn't Balboa the first one to see the Pacific Ocean over land? Wasn't that Balboa? Am I right? It's been a long time ago. I'm thinking that's right. You know, and Montezuma, you ever heard of having a stomach virus? And it's called Montezuma's Revenge. Remember that? Because Montezuma went down and tried to take all the gold from South America, and so they poured hot gold in his mouth as a punishment. Oh, I mean, I remember that in Ponce de Leon, looking for the Fountain of Youth in St. Augustine, Florida. Those names, you know. And Magellan, who sailed around the Horn of South America. All of those guys were great. I believe they all existed. And they did that. And that they expanded. But they were allowed to expand because why? Because God allowed them to expand, right? I think those migrations and expansions have occurred, but what Paul says is they occurred when God wanted them to occur. And when man started doing things that God didn't want him to do, and for those of you who have not been with us in our Bible study classes, we've been studying through the Bible. We've started studying through the Bible in 3 years. We studied about Babel, remember? So when man was accomplishing something God was not ready for him to do, was getting a pride and an ego that God didn't want him to have, God stopped it, right? In this instance, he divided their language. God stopped it. So the accomplishments we have are because God allows or does not allow them to occur. That's what Paul's saying. God provides everything. In him we live and move and have our existence, and he sets the bounds. Paul will write to the Romans in the 13th chapter that kingdoms rise and fall because God allows them to. Rulers come and go because God allows them to. I was sitting with a gentleman, I think it was Thursday. I was sitting with Admiral Taylor, and we were just talking about things, and we're talking about certain things, and he was about studying the Second World War and how we could have lost the Second World War except for some unique events that really changed the flow in several places of that war. I'm convinced God had a hand in that. That God had a hand in that. Now that God used the forces that we had and the Brits and Churchill and others, but it was God's hand in putting the right people in the right place at the right time. There's a new movie out, Midway. Have you seen the new movie, Midway? My favorite war movie is the old movie, Midway. It's the old movie, and I haven't seen this one yet. Will I be disappointed? Okay, but the old movie Midway, if you've seen it, about the Battle of Midway and the events that happened, the breaking of the code, the changing of torpedoes to missiles, radios going out on spy planes, those little things changed the whole outcome of the Battle of Midway, which was a turning point in the War of the Pacific. And we can look at those things and say, those are chance. Or we can look at those things and say, you know, God just didn't come in and destroy the whole armada like he could have with a storm or whatever. But God just used little things to change the way a battle goes and changes a war. Because as Christians, believers in the Scripture, believers in Scripture, the Scripture is full of God making a difference in the lives of nations and of individuals and of peoples. All right? The Bible is not just about the spiritual end. Because sometimes we think the Bible only pertains to one thing, and that's eternity. Right? Isn't that easy that the Bible, if you want to talk about things that are eternal, we'll talk about the Bible, but it really has no place anywhere else. And for many of us, you say, all right, it can be a guide for morality, but our morality really is only a way to achieve the positive eternal goal. Is that fair, consciously or subconsciously? That's where sometimes we can be. But when you read the Scripture is about, yes, why did God work in the lives of these people to bring about the Scripture, this thread of bringing about His Son that brings about eternal life, right? But it also shows that God works. And what Paul says is God not only has worked in the lives of the Hebrews to bring about the Messiah, but God sets the boundaries of people and nations, the times they will rise, the times they will fall, and what they will achieve and where they will achieve it. That Alexander the Great achieved what he achieved because God allowed him to. It's interesting for those of us who believe in Scripture and believe in God, it's very easy to look in the Scripture, because we talk about that Jesus came in the fullness of time. What had happened? What is unique about the time that Jesus comes in world history? Two great powers had just preceded the coming of Jesus. One actually at the time of Jesus, one before. And the Greeks. The Greeks had come across. And the world spoke Greek. And wrote Greek. Now, not everybody did, but the learned, educated people spoke Greek. Okay? Jesus, at the time of Jesus, they would have read from the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation. People spoke Greek. So across the world that we read about in the New Testament, Greek, like English almost is today. Not every nation speaks English. English is not their major language. But we can go almost everywhere in the world, especially in the major cities, major centers, people speak enough English for us to communicate, because most of us don't speak enough other language to communicate with them, right? But they speak some English. Well, people spoke Greek. And then the Romans had come and built roads and had conquered that part of the world, the European part of the world, and you could freely travel through Rome, which you couldn't do before. But you could freely travel through Rome. And there was a peace. Rome. It's called Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. I told you I was a social studies guy now. That history and social studies is my thing. Don't ask me about engineering. Don't ask me about chemistry. But now we can talk some history and some social studies. The peace of Rome. That at the time Jesus comes and the apostles are teaching, there is common language and the ability to travel. And so the gospel is able to spread. I don't think that's an accident. God had prepared, because we know God prepares Moses. It takes 80 years of Moses' life for God to reveal to him what his major plan is, right? 80 years. But God had designed this. And this ability to travel in language is unique. And it hit me for the first time really vividly when I'm sitting on a train going from Italy, from France to Spain. Not Italy and Spain. They don't join. From France to Spain. All right? And there's no man's land between them. There's fences and there's no man. Although they're friendly. This before, way before the European Union. But you can sit there and look across the fence. I mean, it's not like military fence, but it was best I can remember, like chain link fences. And you could sit on one side and the other, and you could look across no further than from here across the road. And the architecture on one side and the other is totally different. I mean, they can see each other. But one is a Spanish architecture and one is French. I don't know what you'd call that, all right? That was not my thing, all right? Decos, huh? Gothic, thank you. They weren't all dressed in black. But you could look there and they could see each other, but you could just look and say, the houses right here and the houses right here look totally different. And you could look right there and say, they can see each other, and this group speaks French, and this group speaks Spanish. It'd just be like us speaking a different language than Auburn Town. Come on, Clay, maybe that's not a good example, but but what I'm saying is that through history, those borders that were protected changed language and personality and architecture and anything. At the time of Rome, the gospel was able to spread. What Paul is telling them, and I'm going to stop here, and we'll pick up some more next week, but something for us as Christians to realize that God not only is the creator of all things, but God is in charge. God's in charge. Because humanism says what? We're in charge. Right? And the only reason we're in charge is because we just evolved farther or further. Higher. Right? We just evolved higher. We're no different than the polar bear. We just evolved a little further. And so, with that comes all kind of confusion, just to be honest with you. But when we know God is in charge, and God sets the boundaries, and God provides everything, and then he realizes that as mankind, we're not the highest order of evolution, but we are human beings created how? In the image of God. We didn't create God. We don't make the rules. We're not in charge. We don't decide what's right and wrong. It's what we've always wanted to do, right? What did Adam and Eve want to do? Did Adam and Eve want to just enjoy the garden? I bet it was sunny every day in the garden. I bet it was cool in the evening and there was a breeze and there was plenty to eat. Did they want to just enjoy that? No. Satan comes and says what? If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Man always has wanted to usurp the authority of God. And Paul says, God's in charge. God's in charge. God's in charge. So we should be people of prayer to God for His protection and His blessings. And God provides us opportunities. So I'm not telling you just to go sit on the couch and God's in charge. He's going to provide everything for you. The check's coming in the mail and don't take care of yourself. And all. Because God provides us opportunities, right? When we talk about the war, and I believe God intervened in that. Because for Hitler to take over the world was not what God designed. That plan of annihilating people, and it was not God's plan. But God didn't just cause a natural disaster to cause it all. He did what? He worked in the events of man to make things happen. And so we have to make ourselves available for God to use us. God delivered the Hebrews in the time of Xerxes II. How? With a plague? No. With a woman named Esther. A woman named Esther. Esther is a great heroine of the Bible. But because God placed her there and God used her and God empowered her. See the difference? It was not, oh, wasn't it lucky that Esther was there? It was no luck at all that Esther was there. Esther was there because God put her there. And Mordecai understood it. He said, don't you know that you might have been brought to royalty for such a time as this? You're here for a reason. But God is in charge. God doesn't need us to provide for Him. God provides for us. It's God who's in charge. But we get to make a decision. We get to make a decision whether we want to follow God's plan or not. Esther had a choice. She was not forced to do what she did. In fact, Mordecai says, if you don't, said God will make another way, but many people will suffer. Many people will suffer because you're not doing what you've been put here to do. We get to make a choice. We get to make a choice about God, whether we believe or we don't believe. About Jesus, His Son, do we believe or do we not believe? Jesus lived and died and was raised from the dead. Because that was God's plan for what? For our redemption. Because you and I are sinners. You and I are sinners. And we're going to talk in the next week or two or three about judgment that Paul will talk about to the Athenians. It's a great sermon. I told you it's my favorite chapter, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. But you and I can stand redeemed before God. Why? Because Jesus died on a cross and God raised Him from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. Yeah, Adam and Eve knew the difference between right and wrong and good and evil when they ate from the fruit, didn't they? But what else happened? Just what God told them would happen. Death entered the world. Death entered the world. God comes in the flesh, dies on a cross for our sins, and is resurrected so that now death no longer has reign over us because God in His power have overcome death. We get to make the choices, but we don't provide for God. He provides for us, and He asks us to come in faith and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.